anybody who has spent any time at a Technori Showcase event, well, I wouldn't say anybody. You've got to have been backstage. You know that I sit there and drink PBR and I eat jerky. That's pretty much what I live on. In our office, periodically, we've always had random things, particularly jerky and or RX bars. That's like our claim to fame in the office. I can eat jerky all day long. It's my fuel. And so when I heard that there was a rumor that I could have Chomps on and know that they would probably bring us a supply of jerky, you can hear it. I'm not going to share it with you because I'm going to eat it all, but I figured why not have them on here, not just for the free jerky, but I've never interviewed anyone who makes or sells jerky, and I've never spent a time on a show talking about jerky, but I am today.
Wait a minute, wait a turn, minute. On turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. Got he talking bigger business. Bigger he make business. A lot of moves. Lot of moves.
So without further ado, Peter Maldonado and Rashid Ali. Did I get that right?
Yep, you did.
Chomp CEO and COO. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Of course, and thank you, of course, for the delicious Chomps. I will let you do the promo on what Chomps is. First, and then we'll get into kind of, you know, I love jerky. I'm sure I'll love Chomps, but not enough to start a business in it.
Right.
And so I'm looking forward to learning, you know, what brought you guys to the table.
So I was in, this is Pete, and I was in the same boat. I basically grew up, I ate way too many of those gas station brands, and maybe the type of jerky that you're talking about, I'm not sure, but.
So just to be clear, when drinking Slim Jim, I will snap into a Slim Jim.
Okay.
It's greasy shit, man.
Yeah.
And it's not good for you, probably, that one. But as a person who, I used to hunt with my dad and things like that and have family out in farm areas and stuff. And so I've had access to, I would say, real, like, good jerky and like, handmade, homemade jerkies. A lot of venison and buffalo and different kinds of things like that. And he's about to whip out some more.
I got venison with me, too, actually.
All right. He's got more.
He holds that
and, you know, and we've even gone the route of, like fishing buddies out in New Orleans who make, like, fish jerky. And I mean, you name the type of jerky and me or my dog have eaten it. So I'm open to just about anything, but I hear you when you say it's just, there's something about growing up on it. Thank you. So, oh yeah. He's got, yes.
It's
my dad's going to love it.
Turkey. That's not a,
this is turkey. We'll get
send him the venison.
It's all good. It's all good. All of it's good. The turkey's for Jen, the beef's for Scott, the venison will be for my dad.
Cool.
No, but, so I get where you're coming from. It was one of those things where, like, I love the taste, but you know, what you're ingesting may not be the greatest.
Right. That's exactly it.
Sorry,
So, you know, I grew up and eating a lot of those, like I said, and then I got into fitness and nutrition and became a personal trainer, kind of learned how to read labels and kind of learn a little bit more about what I'm putting in my body.
So you didn't do the cheese and jerky one. You just went straight jerky.
Straight up jerky, okay. I had a few in my pocket all the time. I'd ride my bike to the 7-Eleven up the road and get some of those, and I'd stop at McDonald's next door and get some cheeseburgers. And so I was on, my diet was on point back then.
Yeah.
I was a kid. It didn't matter then. But, you know, so I got a little older, and I learned, you know, that, you know, I should not be eating that stuff. So I stopped eating them altogether. But then, you know, I was always kind of like, disappointed about it. You're like, damn, man, I wish there was something better that, like, out there that I could eat. And so he and I were actually, the company started, we were Logic Meat Locker, so we were almost like an Omaha Steaks for grass-fed beef and ground beef. And we quickly realized that we did not want to get into mail order frozen food.
It's a tough model.
It was horrible. I mean, it was the middle of summer, and we delivered the product, and someone wouldn't be home till, you know, the next day or the day later. And, you know, we'd end up eating the cost for that spoiled product.
Yep.
So we quickly realized we needed to go shelf stable. I was like, man, I wish we could make a healthy version of Slim Jims. And that was really where the thought came from. And we just we went and did it. That was just basically it. We had samples in just a couple months, started testing, built the website. We had, within a few hours, we're doing our first sales. And this was early 2012. And haven't looked back since. So.
So it's Chomp Snack Sticks. So, like, this is. I assume this is your product. This is the deal.
That's the deal.
You don't have any other types of SKUs, or I mean, probably working on. You have different kinds of flavors, obviously, but
different,
like,
flavors as far as formats. We have some other things in the works right now. But for us, you know, it was we're really trying to be disciplined about keeping our core products.
Yeah.
And then driving just serious, you know, massive volume.
I think it's a brilliant idea. I'm just curious on your end and also obviously COO. So, I mean, you're pretty tightly connected to how this all, you know, goes together. What was it like switching away from making, you know, a bunch of different types of meat, different cuts, different needs? People wanted all kinds of different things. I mean, other than a huge headache removed, I would imagine.
Right.
What is it like as a person who runs a business going, like, man, even though it's a pain in the ass, right, mm-hmm. that you have all these things, putting yourself into one product is live or die. Like, it works or it doesn't work.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, you think about it. When we started, we were small, right? And the original concept was, let's prove this concept. Let's make sure that it works. So we said, you know, we're going to focus on e-commerce. We're going to get it directly to the consumer. And we're going to focus on a few SKUs to figure out what the customer wants. So the original flavor is somehow the original recipe we came up with, and we nailed it. So, I mean, it
was amazing. That's another rarity.
And it's the same recipe. I mean, we haven't really changed. I mean, we've switched the beef. We continue to step it up to make sure we're bringing the most premium, the best beef we get. I mean, we're sourcing right now from Tasmania.
I was going to say, talk a little bit about the difference in the meat itself, because I think for those, I am interested. If everyone else listening isn't interested, then the hell with you, because I am interested in the different types of meat, because I think most people now safely assume that Slim Jim is like processed horsetail or something. I don't know what the hell it is, but it tastes good,
slime.
I guess. Yeah, well, exactly.
What do we call it?
Yes, slime. Yeah. Pretty much. What's the difference?
The background. I mean, you do a good job on it.
Yeah. So it's all grass-fed beef. So it's all grass-fed, grass-finished beef. So what most people are used to here is in commodity beef is all going to be grain-fed beef or corn-fed.
Yep.
So typically when you're buying steaks and you go and you get like you have prime or prime beef steaks, those are all corn fed and they fatten up the cattle and they get marbling, and the marbling comes from eating the corn.
Yep.
And that's marbling is fat. Yep. I mean, that's where you get the flavor from. So typically, you know, grass fed kind of got a bad rap just because it does have kind of more of
it's
a
leaner,
gamey,
yeah.
lean,
yep.
lean flavor to it. But sourcing from where we source from, we're over in Tasmania. The beef that we get just has an amazing taste. It's got this really nice red, you know, healthy color. So much better than anything we were getting domestically.
Yeah.
And it's non-GMO, which is a big thing that we kind of hang our hat on. Is we're one of the only products out there. We're the only stick that's got the non-GMO project verification, which is huge nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, people want to know what's in their food and that it's like seriously clean. So for us, that was like just a big, we aren't going to shift away from that ever, you know, so that's, despite it's costly, we pay for it.
Yep. How does this stack up? Like, I'm sure you have to pass through some of that.
Right.
Exactly.
It's a premium product for sure. We retail at $1.99.
You and know, Slim Jim is what?
Comparable is about $1.49.
Oh, so it's not. I mean,
it's a premium product, but it's not at a premium price.
Not only that, they're at more of about a 1 ounce, and we're at 1.15. So you're kind of getting, you know, if you just you do the price per ounce, it's very similar.
I mean, I can tell you right now, like looking at the packaging, having a lot of experience pulling Slim Jims out of my pocket and it's sliding all around because it's greasy as can be. This is not like that. For those of you who have never tried this, you should definitely give it a whirl. The next question on the clean label thing is, so many places say, and I don't mean in the stick world, I mean just food world, will say, oh yeah, we're clean because we've got grass fed and it's farmed, you know, farm to table and blah, blah, blah. And then they load all kinds of shit into it. And that's like, well, it was farm fed and now you've killed it.
Yeah.
What is that process like for you? And how have you been able to determine, you know, you said before you've kept the same recipe by and large. How have you been able to sort of continue to refine it and try out other types of meat and try out other flavorings and things? And how do you keep it clean?
Yeah, so we've kind of made the determination very early on that we are not going to add sugar to the product.
Yep.
And that's just been
that's going to pay in the long run. I mean, I'm sure it's expensive and hard to figure out early on, but I really think we are entering, I'm like the guiltiest party because I eat like shit, I drink all the time, like it's not good. I mean, I have fun, but it's probably not good long term. I 100% believe we are, the obesity thing that's going on, I think is, if not 90%, 100% tied to our consumption in America of sugar.
That's right.
And so, I mean, you taking a sugarless route, I think will pay off huge.
That's right. Yeah. And when we started this, I mean, some of these trends they haven't quite caught on yet.
They still haven't to the main group, but like they're going to, because you're going to go to a doctor and find out you have diabetes at 20.
Right. Yeah. But it's still getting huge. You know, paleo diet, Whole30, which is, you know, that's, we were one of the first Whole30.
TB12. Come on. Give some Tom Brady love out there.
That's right. Yeah. And then, you know, ketogenic. I mean, all these diets, you keep hearing them over and over and over again. You have like other special populations of people, diabetics, you have autistic kids, all these different types of
food allergies, blah, blah, blah.
That's right. So they're all trying to avoid sugar. So it's just becoming a big mainstream thing now. you know, for us, Rashid will tell you, being the COO, he's dealing with a lot of like the operation stuff and quality control and all of that. You know, it actually poses some challenges for when you're taking sugar out of a meat stick like this. And so for us, we really stepped up our quality control side of our business. It's a major expense for us, but we do it. That's why we still have a brand today. I've been doing this for about 6 years. So, and it's really because of what he does on his end. I'm not like just, it's a lot of work. So
yeah, the interesting thing is like the trend is to go clean label. But a consumer wants like all natural, but they also want uniformity.
Yeah.
They want the same thing, but you need preservatives to drive that. Yeah. So what we try to do is we want to give you the cleanest label possible, but in the background, we are working so hard to make sure that, you know, we use a clear casing so you actually can see the meat and like each cow is different. So there's a lot that happens in the background to be able to have the clean label, but then also to have a uniform stick with a similar color. And I mean, it's a lot of work, but it's paid off. I mean, you'd fall out of your chair if you know how many sticks we sell. I mean, it's insane the volume we're moving right now because it's a huge demand.
Can you say how many sticks roughly you're moving?
We're up to almost like 1.5 million a month.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a lot of sticks. Yeah. That's
very
cool.
We had a phenomenal year. We're already like double our run rate from last year, and
that's
fantastic. We're on path to triple it. So it's exciting.
It's, you know, it's cool and it's funny. I'm going to pick up on what you just talked about, Rashid, with what goes into it and sort of what people want versus what they think they want versus what they actually buy. I don't know if you probably have heard this or maybe read it or don't know, and here you're hearing it now. So a couple of years ago when McDonald's did this like little health kick and they went the route of like apples and random stuff that didn't work, and they had their like healthy sandwich stuff, they spent, I'm misquoting this number because it's astronomically higher than this, but it was like $20 million on surveys for millennials. And this is again like almost four years ago now. And I actually had a conversation with the CEO, current CEO was Don Thompson at the time, but now Steve Easterbrook, about this. So millennials that they quizzed and spent all this money to reshift the way that McDonald's was going to be doing business almost put them out of business because the millennials were saying, we want grass-fed, we want clean label, we want this, we want that. But in all reality, they didn't have money or they didn't care. They wanted the fatty taste. And so they would end up still eating the shit that they said that they weren't going to eat.
Right.
And all these businesses sort of like picked up on that and followed over and almost followed them right down the chute.
Right.
And so I totally get where you're coming from on this. We're like, you guys walk this really fine line of like, it's got to still taste like a Slim Jim and the kind of fatty, salty deliciousness, but be clean.
Yeah.
And if you can master the like be clean label and give them even remotely close to that taste, you're going to kick the shit out of the competition, which it sounds like you're doing.
Yes, that's exactly. So taste is, we will not launch a SKU if it's I'm trying to do a certain protein or a certain flavor profile. If it doesn't taste amazing, we won't launch it. I mean, we've gone through so many iterations of different potential flavors and still it is shelved.
The cool part, I guess, the positive, or I don't mean positive, it doesn't sound like there's a negative to the other side. That's the good fortune of having one main product, that you have the sole responsibility of perfecting it to its absolute greatest before you release it again and again. And if you have a great marketing campaign and strategy, which it would sound like you guys do, that you, so long as you have a kick-ass product, you're golden.
Right.
You can just keep throwing seasonal SKUs and you know, random stuff. But as long as it's clean and follows your label, you're good.
That's right.
Cool. Well, I really appreciate this. We're going to talk a little bit about something that has nothing to do with this and have a little fun here and kick some ideas around. And then before we do that, I want to make sure to plug, where can they find it? Where's the place to go for this delicious meat?
Yeah, goodness? So we're in a bunch of different retailers. We're in Trader Joe's nationwide is probably
that's where I saw this. I was trying to remember where it says. I go to shop at Trader Joe's all the time. This is where I've seen this. I've had your stick. This is
right
delicious.
At the register, yeah.
I have had the stick. I love this stuff.
So locally here in Chicago, I mean, Fresh Time's another big one that we're in here. Some other smaller, independents, and then. We're at Safeway Albertsons now.
We've got to get you guys in Mariano's. What's going on?
Yeah, what's up with that? We're working on it.
Do you have contacts there or Target?
We're in Target, but we can. We'll take whatever.
We have a lot of guys who've been on the show who are in the food space. So like they've got like our good friends that were just named 30 Under 30s at Inc. TST has all of their stuff. They're local. It's a good buddy of mine, Patrick Tenuse. Another shout out for you. And by the way, Patrick, your main man Malik is making my suit for my wedding. So thank you for that. A little shout out. At any rate, he is in all Targets, all U.S. Foods, and things like that. So he's just down the street. So I'd be happy to make contacts there, and you guys can figure out how to take over the tea and clean meat world.
That's the cool thing about Chicago. We just keep meeting more. I mean, you think about, I mean, everyone knows RX at this point, right? They started the company around the same
time. I grew up with them. So RX Bar, which I just had the snack for. So Pete and Jared. Jared used to dunk on me. I don't know if it's appropriate to say this, but he would teabag me. By dunking on my face, and other things would hit my face. At any rate, so we were from the same town. Yeah. And so we were like him and then Sam McBride and Megan Marshall. Yeah. All of them were on, Megan wasn't his, her brother was, on our baseball and basketball teams like our whole life. So I was like, is there any sort of payout for those of us who had to put up with this shit? Like, but anyway, $600 million later, great product. Yeah. So anything I can do to help you guys out there.
Simple Mills, Vital Proteins.
Another great one. Simple Mills, we had him on here not long ago. She's great. Yeah. Very cool.
Catch Fix, another one.
Yeah.
A bunch of
we're missing. There's another. Matt Matros with Limitless Coffee Bar. Now and Protein Bar before that.
Yeah,
so
Matt's a good guy. Awesome guy.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, you seem like you know these people. The Tanous one, if I can make help there, anything we can do.
For sure.
So long as you guys, if you do a deal and you get in somewhere, I want like a lifetime supply of this shit. That's my only.
You'll get it anyway. Don't worry about it.
Sweet.
We're right down the road. Yeah.
There we go. So I wanted to talk to you guys just entrepreneur to entrepreneur, just normal conversation. So this is a topic that came up in Facebook. I don't even know where I found this. Some guy posted this thing, and you can take whatever opinion you want on this. This is totally subjective. We've had people comment one way, people comment the other about timeliness.
Yeah.
And I have always taken this approach that know your audience.
Right.
And some people, especially older people, time is respect. And they show up late, you show up, you know, try to keep it as close to on time, it matters. But this has just struck me so funny. This person made this long post on Facebook, and there was actually, it was picked up and put in entrepreneur and then reposted everywhere. And this guy had this long dissertation on, 5 minutes early is on time, on time is late, and late is you're out of here, or whatever the hell. And I would love to know as entrepreneurs, like, what your take is, because my response immediately to it was like, if you come 5 minutes early to every meeting of the day, you just wasted an hour. Like, if I was 5 minutes early to every meeting, I would waste 1 hour a day just right in the shitter.
Yeah.
And if I'm on time, that's ideal, of course. And if I'm late, I apologize and I do the best I can. I don't try to be late, but I do the best I can. I definitely give you warning on my phone, like, hey, I'm running behind, whatever. And I understand that by being late, that there's a good chance that you may not do work business with me because of it. But I just think people put way too much emphasis on this thing. It's like, if you have a great product and great business and you show up 10 minutes late, I'm not saying no to a deal with you if I think your product's awesome. I wish you would have let me know, but what do you got? What's your take on this?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm probably the worst person to actually give an opinion on this.
Are you a late guy?
I'm late
all the time. Yeah,
I was late
my opinion. Yeah.
I'm surprised I even made it. I was actually stuck.
Yeah. You guys are probably thinking, like, well, he's bringing this up because I was late. I'm late to everything.
Yeah. Okay, well, not good.
Yeah, no,
I'm
you're
nervous
good.
There.
No,
really getting called out.
Yeah, no, you can't. No. You have a call-out free button. No, it's all good. I was going to ask the other guest, but he went to West Point, so I know the answer to that. I don't even need to have a conversation
That's
about
right,
this.
Yeah. He was there like 30 minutes early.
Oh, yeah. He's like, listen, if you show up late to war, war's over, buddy. Like,
he was doing push-ups over there when I saw
But no, anyway.
But I think that it's certain types of meetings. It really depends on what you're meeting for. I mean, in my mind, I think it's if it's an employee is doing it, if they're doing their work and doing the job that I hired them for, and they're 5 minutes late, ten minutes late to the office.
I'm defining late. I don't mean blowing off meetings. I don't mean showing up like 45 minutes late an hour meeting. I mean, like, you know, like, am I going to sit there and be like, it's 4 o'clock. We're done right now. It's 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
If we run 2 or 3 minutes other than how much we pay, if we run 2 or 3 minutes over on something, who cares? Like, whatever. Like, I think people run this thing way too tight. And there's this, like, one of the persons, I can't remember who it was. I do remember, a friend of mine, Leah, posted on this thing too. And she was like, anyone who would spend, which I guess makes me guilty on this conversation, anyone who would spend that much time writing a dissertation on something so monotonous and stupid as time tardiness.
That's too much time on their hands.
has nothing to be late to.
Right? Yeah, right.
But anyway.
That makes sense. Yeah. I don't know. You can give your opinion.
No, I think I feel that, you know, timeliness is important. It's a matter of respect. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's about communication. I mean, shit happens.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, we are all so busy. Like, there's so much things going on. But at the end of the day, we have more technology now than we ever had before. And it's, if you're going to be late, you're going to know you're going to be late ahead of time, and just giving advance notice. And also, you have to be aware, like the person you're meeting.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain things where, you know, Pete was out there in Seattle last week meeting with Costco, and like, that's not a meeting we would ever be late for. He showed up a half hour early to me. I mean,
you're doing that contingency. Yeah, stuff can happen. You want to make sure you're there. Like, you have an ask.
Right.
If you've got a huge ask and you're the one who doesn't come in with the upper hand, like, you should, like, we're not talking about being disrespectfully late. But I just think it's so weird to me in this world of business where people, like, maybe it's a younger thing, older thing, but like, I think that people spend too much time staring at the clock. And then, like you brought up, Rashid, the technology, like, you can call. You know what I mean? Like, if you were late and you're like, hey man, I want to be on the show, but like, I can't make it now because I'm eating chomps in the corner. And I'm just having too good a time. Rashid could be on the show and you could call in and we'd still have the show. Yeah. Like, it just blows my mind. But I was curious as to guys who are starting, you know, 6 years ago, you said the company's up and running, you know, what the culture's like and making it, like, what do you think when people, you know, come and go?
You know, time management for us is still a challenge. I mean, we still have a really small team, relatively speaking, you know, from like a revenue perspective, the size of our company, we should probably have maybe four or five times the number of employees that we might have right now. But we work hard, you know. Yeah. So we're kind of going meeting to meeting to meeting. Like, I'm heading to the airport right after this. And, you know, so that's just really the way it is. And so sometimes you're late, you know. So
that's kind of what, I guess that was my takeaway. This is, I know I tell everybody this when I'm late, I miss a call or something. Like, I mean, absolutely no disrespect. I want you to know that. And if you don't do a deal with me because of this, listen, I get it. You get one shot at it and I blew it. But if you, I said this in response to the girl Leah who wrote, like, you're spending way too much time on this, which I just did now, which is why it's funny. That if you have time to show up that early all the time, like, you're really not working hard enough, like, to be totally honest. Like, you're not putting enough shit in your day. Like, that's just being frank. Like, if you're, like I said, if I take pride in showing up to almost every meeting sweating my balls off because I've been sprinting to make it because I just ran from another one.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. I just thought it'd be an interesting conversation because you guys, you know, seem like regular Joes and just hustling all over the place. And so, interesting stuff.
I'm on your side with it. So
sweet. Well, listen, you can be, here's the pass. I mean, everyone can be late to any meeting they go to so long as they walk in with some chomps.
That's
just stop over the store like, hey man, I'm sorry I was late. I was hungry. I grabbed some chomps, but I got some for you. It's all good. All right, cool. Well, then one more time before we head out of here, where do people go to learn more about chomps and where do people go to get them?
Okay, you go to chomps.com. Very simple to remember. And then, you know, you go to Amazon, chomps.com, or you go to any of those stores, like I mentioned. So Trader Joe's, Fresh Thyme locally here. Who else? Who am I forgetting? Safeway, Albertson's coming up.
Soon to be Costco, hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. We can delete that.
Just wait. It's coming.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. This is great. Thank you guys so much. And kudos on getting chomps.com. I have to suspect that if you either didn't buy that ahead of time.
That was a battle in itself.
I was going to say.
We were Go Chomps. Well, we still have that domain, but that was for the first 3 years. So,
well, how did, could you, can I ask, like, did you have to shake the stick or was there some cash or what, how did we do that?
It was a little cash. Why don't you tell him a story, actually?
He almost shot ourselves in the foot, actually.
We found the domain.
I've been through this battle.
I'm going to tell the story because he's gonna water it down a little bit. So I'm over here dealing with, it's registry.com. And then I'm going back and forth with them, trying to, like, nickel and dime, trying to get it, like, get a good deal.
You have one day to close this deal. Otherwise, it's going to be $27,000. Some asshole put my last name.com for $27,000. Like, get.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah,
so it started. It was like 50K or 40K. Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. That's a great name for like a number of products. Right.
So we were like, let's just try to get them down. And they weren't budging. And the guy that owned it happened to own the actual registrar or whatever it is.
Yeah.
In like Bermuda or something.
So at least it was, so it was like a legit, it was actually not just a shitty squatter. It was like a legit.
It was a dude that's got like, you know, some. So he was like, let me go try to, you know, hit it from another angle. And so he goes and reaches out himself. And doesn't say that we're associated in any way. So what happens is these people are thinking there's all this demand for chomps.com.
Yeah.
And they're like, the price is going up now. Now the owner wants more. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So I had to like, so we were kind of arguing back and forth.
Oh,
he's like, no, I'm just going to give him a low ball offer.
Like, if
you
we're
come
both low balling it, then I'm like, I'm trying to set a new price.
He's creating a marketplace out of nothing.
That's right. So finally, I go, wait a second. I got to put an end to this. Who are you talking to? Who is this other person? Is it Rashid? I'm like, it's my business partner. You know that, right? And they're like, oh. And so like literally a day later, I get an email and they're like, wait, we talked to the owner and he wants to know what's the best you can do. And I was just like, 10 grand or something like that, right? It was like 10 grand cash. And he was like, I forget what happened. He was basically like, no, we can't. We'll do 15. And I'm like, no, fine. I don't want it then.
Yeah, they'll reach back 10. Out within like 2 days. I'm like, yep, done. Hey,
a
what
day,
do you know?
He a day was later, we got it for, I think it was 10 grand. So just in the end. Yeah.
We have a couple of domains I've done this with, and I've used this exact same tactic, not the foolish marketplace one, but like the tactic where I call him up and I'm like, listen, I'm not going to sue you, but this is complete horseshit. Like, you know, you're a squatter. Like, I know scumbag when I see one. So here's the deal. I've got 10 for this, or it was actually 5 for me. I've got 5 for this, and they come back and they're like, no way, it's 20. And then I come back to them like, no, I'm out. I don't even care. In fact, we're going to go another name. We're not actually going to name the company this. So now we're just talking about, you know, this is a backup plan. Like, it's totally, don't even care. They call me for a month. Would you do 10, 9, 750? Would you just got to 5 and then 5. When I got to 5, I go, I'll only do 5 if you'll let me do it on a finance plan. And I paid 5 over months, really? Paying like $167 a month, no interest. And the guy signed up for it. Like, I got you, asshole. Like, my win. That's but awesome. Anyway, I thought it was kind
of... Was that for your name or for the company?
No, I'm not going to get my name. That guy knows, like, he even bought first name, last name.
Okay, yeah.
So he got my last name.com. I got somebody who rung me up on Twitter, so I got my last name on Twitter, but I'd pay a little bit for it. Not I hadn't gotten this show off the ground yet, so it was still pretty cheap. Now, they took Katoon.com and put a $28,000 price tag on it, $27,500, and then they took ScottKatoon.com and they threw a $15,000 on that one. So it's like very clear what they're, you know, what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey man, I got Technori. I don't need my name like that.
Right.
Do Katoon.technori.com. See you later.
Yeah.
But I would like it.
Yeah.
Obviously. No, it was a different domain that we did. I've actually had a couple. I used to buy domains for podcasts and ideas that I was coming up with. I would always use, it's kind of not a good spend of money, but I would always start with the domain and then try to think like, what could I build around this? Yeah. And you start to see what do people associate with that name? And then you start finding partners who have businesses like, hey, you know, I own this thing. It's a little leverage.
Right.
I don't squat on them. I just, you know, hold them. Something like
open,
that.
Open a door with it. Yeah.
Very cool. It's interesting. Very funny way to end this whole thing. So thank you guys very much for coming in. Thank you for the product. I love it.
We set up a discount code too. Did you get
oh,
that?
Oh, no. Technori. Did you? Yeah. Yeah, you did.
It's very
Sam
simple.
Put it on here.
Let's go back to chomps.com.
Chomps.com. 20% off. CHOMPS.com. They paid for it. So we want to make sure you go to the right one or go chomps.com, right?
No. Just go to chomps.com.
I'm just joking. Do not go. You don't pay money and then go somewhere else. Chomps.com. Use Technori as your promo code. Save 20% off on these delicious meat sticks, which I am sure that I and you guys will all love. Guys, thank you so much. I had a really good time having you in here.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
of course.
It.
You can catch this episode of more at Technori.com. You can download the podcast on iTunes. Stay connected. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori. Follow me at Katoon. Is it follow you guys at Chomps?
That's right.
Follow at Chomps.
At Chomps.
At Chomps. Boom. That's a wrap.